who's gonna do it on that? Okay.
All right, we just need to turn down the right foot and I'll point this right here, okay?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, sir, could you please state your name, your ABC number for us for the record?
My name's Elias O'Quinn, ABC number is 230357.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are gonna be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, you have the Honorable David Neal, you have our board chair, Dr. C.T. Wright. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your panel chair today. Sir, prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form?
No, I don't actually. I never signed anything. They just barely gave me a paper like the other day telling me that I had the hearing.
Okay. Okay, sir, we have a, sir, Mr. Quinn? Mr. O'Quinn?
Yeah.
We have a form, this a notification of a board hearing that you signed on November 17th of 2017, sir.
Possibly, I just don't remember it. I don't remember doing it.
Okay, well, we do have the notification of board hearing that's dated November 17th, 2017, that you did sign the form on that day to notify.
Well, I agreed to have the hearing, so it's possible that I signed it, I just don't remember it.
Okay. All right, so on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and represent yourself. If you wanted to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense, you could hire an attorney, sir. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself, Mr. O'Quinn?
I guess I'm representing myself.
Okay, sir. What I'd also like to do is introduce you to Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, sir. And I would also at this time like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do, sir.
Okay, so your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision has been violated. In phase two, sir, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, Mr. O'Quinn. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes.
Okay. So the first allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about September 11, 2017, per the TAS LCMS lab report dated September 25th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, the second allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling on or about September 17, 2017, as directed. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, sir, thank you. And, sir, your third violation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about September 22nd, 2017, as written directed on September 20th, 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's false?
Yes.
Okay, so based that you say that allegation is false, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and get some additional information, okay? Besides on allegation number 3.
Yes, sir, allegation number 3. On September 20th of 2017, this officer hand-delivered a letter with reporting instructions to the hand of the offender's sponsor located at 2930 North 35th Street, number 42, Phoenix, Arizona, 85018. The letter directed the offender to report to the 801 South 16th Street, Suite 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034 on September 22nd of 2017 by 10 a.m. The offender failed to report as directed. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. This officer contacted a sponsor and emergency contact who stated that the offender had not been back to the residence recently. This officer contacted MCSO. The offender was not in police custody. This officer also attempted to reach the offender on his cell phone, but there was no answer. The offender did not provide any employment information.
Okay, Mr. O'Quinn, what's not true about that?
Well, first off, my mother, she's mentally ill, so if he handed something to my mom, that I would have never known it until, like, whenever she realized that she took it, actually received it, because she has a split personality. Sometimes it's one person, and sometimes it's another person. If he gave something to her, there would be no way for me to even know it. And anytime that Aaron's ever called my phone because of whatever my drug use, I've always went and talked to him. I've always went down there in person. I've been to MRC twice, in and out of it twice. And every time that he ever called me, I always talked to him, and I always went in and turned myself into him. I've never ran from him. I've never withheld anything from him. Anytime he ever asked me something, I was always honest with him.
Okay.
It's not like, I mean, I have a recent drug issue. I would like to resolve it, but it's like, I relapsed. I messed up, and there's no fixing it. But if he was to physically talk to me on the phone, there would have been no way in the world I would have ran from the apparent chief. If I would have just went in there, down to the parole office, and took my sanctions or came here, whatever I had to do.
Okay.
He knows that.
All right, sir. So, Mr. Osborne, it does say that he did hand a letter to the mother. That was his last known address. Did it say that it had been a while since Mr. O'Quinn had been there at that residence?
He talked to the, as I read in there, he talked to the emergency contact and the sponsor. My name, and they said it had been a while since they had seen him, as if he hadn't been back to the residence.
Okay.
And just to also note, on October 4th of 2017, the Escondido Reduction Program letters were mailed out to 2930 North 35th Street and one to 2610 North 52nd Street, number 3 in Phoenix, Arizona also. So there were also two letters that went out to try to get him to come in.
Okay. All right. Therefore, based on the admission and allegations number 1 and allegation number 2, based on the admission, Mr. O'Quinn, along with allegation number 3, based on the information in the warrant, based on the conversation with Mr. O'Quinn, and based on the information coming from the parole officer, I am going to move to find that he violated the terms and that he violated, that Mr. O'Quinn was delinquent, that he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
I agree.
Okay, sir, we're going to go into phase 2 of your hearing, sir. During phase 2, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate supervision. We're going to start out phase 2 with getting some additional information from Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. O'Quinn was released from DOC custody on April 20th of 2017. He was arrested on November 6th of 2017 by the Salt River Tribal Police Department under his condo warrant status, and was returned back to our custody that same day with 45 abscond days with a community supervision end date of March 4th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014 drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year, and 2014 misconduct involving weapons, 4 years. Prior convictions, 2008, burglary tools possession, 1 year, and 2011, burglary third degree, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, mental score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 1. There was no STG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2009, TIS completion, 1 month. And 2012, TIS absconder, 128 days. Arrested by Phoenix PD for possession of dangerous drugs, returned to custody, and reached the CSED. Has a moderate disciplinary history with fighting and threatening and intimidating behavior noted. And yes, community risk score of G4B5.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Mr. O'Quinn, I'm going to go over some information with you, and then I want to give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, sir. When you were released to reside with your mother at 2930 North 35th Street, apartment number 43. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
Okay, and were you staying there at the time that you were arrested?
Yes, I was there. Just prior to that, so I think that same night.
Okay. So were you doing, were you working? It says that they were unable to verify any employment. Were you working?
I worked at the apartment complex. You could have talked to the owner. His name is Mr. Tim. He lives in the front of the apartment. I even filled out a W-9 for being one of the maintenance men there. I worked there at the apartment complex. I'm an HVAC technician.
Okay, so did you get that information to the parole office?
Yes.
Okay. So, according to the information that we have, that you were referred to task for random urinalysis test, it looks like that your first test that you did on April 24th, you were negative. Then on May 23rd, you failed to submit one. And then on June 1st, it was positive for methamphetamine and cocaine. And then on June 19th, you failed to submit. Then on June 20th, it was positive for amphetamines. Then on July 18th, it was positive for amphetamines. On September 11th, it was positive for methamphetamines. And then again on September 13th, you failed to submit. You were referred to CAP for substance abuse treatment, and it says that you was discharged three separate times, for not attending the classes. Why didn't you attend the classes, sir?
I don't have an excuse for why I didn't attend. I just didn't go. I had a drug problem at the time, so the only thing on my mind was my substance abuse, and that was it. I wasn't thinking of a drug class. Because I was on drugs, I felt like I didn't need a drug substance abuse class when I know that I really do.
Okay.
Because I have an issue, and it needs to be addressed.
So, sir, when you were arrested by the tribal police, what were you doing?
I was coming from the casino.
He was coming from the casino, so what? Did they stop you, or what happened? What led up to it?
I got pulled over. I was doing 60 miles an hour at 50.
Okay, and that's why they pulled you. Were you by yourself, or what?
Well, I had two other people with me. When they pulled me over, I told them, I said, I'm not gonna play no games with you. I have a warrant.
All right.
I told them my name, and they pulled me out of the truck.
Okay.
It's not like I was, when I gave them a false name or anything like that. I told them who I was and what my issue was.
Okay, so you were absconding for 45 days. Why didn't you contact your parole officer during those 45 days?
Well, at the time, I didn't realize that I was absconding until I was already into November when my mother gave me that little thing. And then he said that, I think it was like October 5th I was supposed to turn myself in, or October, sometime in October, when I read the thing, I was like, it's already way past the time for me to be able to go and turn myself in.
So you just...
I wasn't aware that I was on the hunt until I read that letter.
So, sir, did you have dates that you were supposed to regularly contact your parole officer?
I had just came from seeing him. He called me down in there, and he did a little mouth cotton swab on me, and then that was it. I was supposed to see him the next month or something like that sometime, whenever, and... I honestly wasn't aware until I looked at that letter. I didn't contact him. I don't know why. I just didn't.
Okay. So Mr. Osborne has some additional information.
I just wanted to state, sir, that he was under medium custody on supervision, which means he has to see his parole officer every 30 days.
Okay.
And those are scheduled visits. So they are given times, and they're notified as given to them in writing.
All right. So, Mr. Quinn, per the parole officer, you have, when you leave, you have 30 days, and you have a set time that you're supposed to see your PO, but you didn't go see your PO during that 45 days. Sir, something that really is bothering me right now is that earlier you made a statement that your mother had some mental problems, and if that they went out and gave your mother any paperwork or any documentation for you to report, that you wouldn't, your mother would not have remembered it, and you would not have gotten it. Yet now you're saying that you did receive.
I wouldn't have gotten it for days.
Well, now you didn't say it for days. You said that you wouldn't have got it, sir, and that your mother would not have remembered, and she would not have given it to you, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions, Mr. O'Quinn. I see no additional questions coming from the board, sir. Is there any information you'd like to tell us before we go into a discussion, sir, at this time?
I guess not. I mean...
All right, Mr. Quinn. The board's going to go into discussion, sir, at this time. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Quinn, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, have to remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination during this discussion whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision at that time, sir. Please remain on this phone, but remain silent until we get back to you. The board's in discussion. At this time, the board's in discussion. Mr. Quinn has previously absconded for 128 days. while out on a TIS release. It's apparent that he was notified, a parole officer went to his house, said that they delivered the letter by hand to the responsible person that was there. Mr. O'Quinn originally stated that if his mother had mental problems, if she got it, he would not have gotten it. Then he just changed the story and said that his mother, that he did receive the paper, but by the time he received it, it was already past the date that he was supposed to report to his PO. He does have a 30-day monthly appointment that he has to meet with his PO. Based on the information that we have, I don't see Mr. O'Quinn being suitable for community supervision.
I agree.
Therefore, I'm going to make the motion to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. O'Quinn, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses about the lapse in the criminal ways of company, as though he admitted to continuing to use drugs while he was out, as well as been in Uganda for 45 days. We don't know what he was doing or where he was at during that period of time.
Thank you, sir.
Second.
Agree.
All right, Smith. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. Sir, you will be released on March 4th of 2018. Sir, during that period of time when you're released, you won't be on community supervision. You won't have to report to your parole officer, Mr. O'Quinn. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to come before this board, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time.
Okay, fine.
So it should be noted for the record that Mr. Quinn did hang up. That is going to conclude his hearing at this time.